been a bit unusual, especially because of the venue and all that had to do with us finding ourselves ultimately here. Some of you saw the roommate on the train, our friends, people who were here like us, so it took us quite some time. But, no, let's get going. DG for Home Affairs, we'd like to welcome you and your delegation. And still ask Teko, I think. Not yet, they're still on their way. Right, I would make a request that may we please switch off our cellular phones. Please. Just switch off your cellular phones. Put it on silent. So that it does not affect the recordings of our proceedings. Please, make sure your cellular phone is off. Right. Well, we'll start by TG, as we always do, allow officials to introduce themselves, Auditor General, National Treasury, Members of Parliament, and then we can then get going. So I'll hand over to you and the officials to introduce themselves, and then we can start our program.
Well, thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Kusela Plain, DG Home Affairs.
Honourable Members, my name is Gordon Hollandy. I'm the DDG Finance and Supply Chain. Home Affairs.
Honourable Chair Members, I'm Sophie Gundon, the Chair of the Audit Committee.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Sammy Manduana. I'm a Parliamentary Liaison Officer at DHA.
Good morning, Chair and members of the SUHA. My name is Riaz Musa and I support the Parliamentary Liaison.
Good morning, and the newly appointed Senate Representative and Solicitor General, debating the stage.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Abin Mulu. I'm the Senior Interim Auditor of the Department of Home Affairs.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Gideon Laban. I'm the Audit Manager from Auditor General.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Mali Nai and I'm the Senior Manager from the Auditor General responsible for the platform.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Gillian Wilson. I'm the National Bureau.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members of SCOPA. My name is Vyasan Babuji from National Treasury, Office of the Accountant General.
Right. May we ask comrades to introduce themselves? We'll start here.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Nyanele Lebowe, Member of Parliament.
Right, can we, Evelyn, can go to you?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sandra Adesit from KZN. I'm a member of the committee.
I'm also from KZN. My name is Kuleo, a member of the committee.
My name is Vincent Smith.
Okay, thank you. I'm Comrade Temba Gotti. I chair the committee. Well, we met, I think, early this year, but we're talking about our current expenditure. Zimbabwe, and I'm still waiting for that communique from National Treasure in relation to what we spoke about on the phone, DG, so that our resolution is an authorized expedition can be processed. But that's not for today. We're here on account of the annual report of the department. As you know, our main interest is for the report of the Auditor General and issues related to the finances thereof. As we're all aware, the report of the Auditor General can be better than what it is. And the concerns that we have raised, we want to talk to them. Because the rules of parliament that establish our committee require us to deal with the report of the Auditor General, the financial statement, report, etc. But these are done in accordance with the Public Finance Management Act, which has a whole number of chapters, responsibilities, institutions that are supposed to be in place to ensure that the public funds are managed appropriately. Where there are challenges, we need to be able to put our heads together and see where are the gaps and how do we close them. But to go into the details, I hope all have copies of the program. If we don't, then she'll be here to make that available to Mr. Enrico Upi. Alright, that's fine. So in terms of our program, we will head over to Comrade Vincent Smith to take us through. As you can see, after him, it is Professor who has his own second to deal with. But I'll hand over to Comrade Vincent.
Thanks, Chen. As the chair alluded to, the mandate of the committee really is to look at the financials as presented to Parliament by the Auditor General. And also your own annual report that you submit to Parliament. So those are the source documents of our engagement. But those documents, DG and colleagues, are a means to an end. The end really is what the state of the nation, the budget statement, and those things talk to. Really, that's the end of it. The minister last week really spoke about, in his budget speech, he said, and I want to let me quote him, he says, better value for money in public service delivery depends on rigorous financial management, effective systems, and an unrelenting fight against corruption. That's what Nene said to South Africa last week. And it is applied saying management in public sector is far from perfect. There are frequent allegations of corruption and inefficiency. And therefore, we as COPA and Parliament are informed by those realities. And Chairperson spoke about the PFNA that talks to DG about your role as the accounting officer, what you're supposed to do. It goes further and it says that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, what are the sanctions? Because then it is construed a financial misconduct. And we then added yesterday, for those that were with us yesterday, that after 16 years, it's inconceivable that there's not a single public service official that has been brought before some sort of adjudicator to because of financial misconduct. It's just inconceivable that after 16 years, nobody has been brought before some adjudicator by the strength of the PFMA. If it says financial misconduct, fine or go to jail. That's what the PFMA says, fine or go to jail. Nobody has been fined since I've been in this parliament. Nobody has gone to jail since I've been in this parliament. And the amount of corruption, the amount of financial mismanagement, the amount of negligence is at a point where we cannot justify it anymore. Certainly not me as a member of the ANC. I cannot justify it anymore, DG. So that's really the context in which we need to have this discussion. And we always allude to the fact that we think that there's going to be consequences this term. You might understand that the problem is we've not had consequences for these type of things for the past 50 years, and therefore people did it with impunity. So there's going to be consequences going forward. And if you ask our colleagues from defense, they will indicate to you exactly how unapologetic we were last yesterday, and I think we are going to be like that. Certainly as long as I participate in this committee, I think we're going to be like that going forward. So I thought I must put that context there. Especially for colleagues from Home Affairs. My first assignment was in Home Affairs when I came to this parliament. It was a disaster. In 1999 I came here. And DG, we went all the way to the other side and we roofed to a point of unqualified, I think the year before last year. Now we have a disclaimer. And to keep quiet just would be irresponsible, chairperson. Must you think that it's business as usual, it would be irresponsible. Because a disclaimer means the auditor general can't pronounce. If I ask them now, they're going to say to me, we can't. And I have to operate on the basis of the information they give me. So we're really talking about something that we don't have yet. We've got nothing. I don't know how we can talk, Honorable Lee, on any of these figures if the accounting officer and the auditor and the audit committee and everybody that signed this document agrees that this information is reliable. The audit committee, I think, would concur that this information is reliable. The independent AG says this is information. What do we do about it? Send a team with this information that we don't have. So I think that what we should maybe do before we even get into the meat of this detail, is ready to ask the AG, the accounting officer, to briefly tell us what have they done since this report was signed to date in terms of turning around this report. Is there anything that you've done? Because if you haven't, let's have that discussion now. Let's have the discussion on what are the processes that you are putting in place to fix up the situation. Then you talk about something that is equal to the gap that I haven't got up to down for. Equal to the gap. Why talk about a disclaimer? And we've got 2 weeks before the financial year ends up. Let's rather say to this department, tell us what can put into place. But let me tell you why I'm saying that, DG. In 2 weeks' time, you're coming to Parliament to ask for money. In terms of your staff plan, in terms of anything. Baba both have the lucidus. In 2 weeks, they're coming here to ask us for money. If this thing has not been rectified, why should Parliament give you money? Why should we give you money? We understand that you can't limit out Home Affairs because it's cradle to the grave, but we also can't throw money because it's a cradle to the grave exercise when the Auditor General can't even say he's satisfied with these figures. So that is my proposal, but I'll leave the colleagues. I think let's just ask them to tell us what is it that they agree. And let us criticize that they are doing, and then maybe allow members to get into specifics if they want to get into specifics. But we are now very concerned that we can't give them another sense unless we are satisfied that they are at least acknowledging that there's a problem. What are they doing about the problem? Let's ask Treasury to give us their view, and let's ask the Auditor General also to give us their view. And if we're happy with that, then myself and colleagues can maybe get into the view. But that's my proposal.
Okay, I think maybe let's see if the DG can make some opening response. And then we can get the information out and move forward.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair, the Honorable Members, and start by saying we really do acknowledge at the department that we are utilizing the taxpayers' monies, and then in that regard, we need to manage them as such. And the Department of Home Affairs, we have got a responsibility, as the Honorable Member Smith has said, that yes, we deal with people from credit to death, and the services of Home Affairs can't get them anywhere else except in the department. And that put a pressure to us that when we are a monopoly, we are not the one which gives us a benefit, but it's putting more pressure to us. So the way we do things must reflect that. Then coming to the issues, what we're doing, and what are the problems which we are sitting with. Chair, as the Honourable Members indicated, that we are the year where we manage to have things and tell us what is the problem now. I will be explaining that to say what are the issues which are sitting in the department. The major issue, Chair, which we have is our relationship with UCO in terms of the transactions which we are dealing with them from abroad. Well, there are still some challenges within the country, but the major challenges we have are the ones which are abroad. But the pertinent question is the one to say, what are we doing with this loss? Let me start with the one around the operations, how we operate abroad, and how we want to deal with the matters. So let me start with the payable side, where the expenditure, because the UCO abroad is mandated to pay the expenditure on our behalf.
Maybe let's do this. I think the point that you've made, that the major challenge relates to processing transactions between yourself and telco.
Yes.
I think let us deal with that first.
Yes.
Not in terms of finding solution, but in terms of confirmation.
Yes.
So that if we all agree that is the problem, then we can all focus on it. But if there are other problems, then maybe we should deal with the other problems. Fact, because they are internal to yourself, independent telco.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we may deal with telco only to find that we still have a whole litany of others. So I want to check with the Auditor General and National Treasury, their friends. If they all agree that that is the problem, then we'll zoom in telco. It's a pity they are not here. And then I think next time our invite must just say the meeting starts at 9, because the moment you show officials will start with Home Affairs, they will follow later. Then there's their own other little programs until 10 to 11. Now, that obviously messes us up a bit. But I was saying, DJB, let's hear from the AG, let's hear from the National Treasury. What are the problems? Is it the echo that has caused a disclaimer? Or are we having a whole range of things that are a problem in the department? Auditor General, and then National Treasury.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I think if you look at the department's financials, and it's a mixture. And obviously, the telco account affects quite a few balances in terms of accounting, but there are other issues as well. Let's speak on the assets, it's not related to telco. And I think if I take it back to our meeting last week, in closing, I said we must just bear in mind that when you speak about revenue, it wasn't just the foreign revenue, it's the local revenue as well, which is not telco related.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I agree with the Auditor General. I think we should ring fence the telco problem and then the local problem. But to answer the question, I don't think the telco causes the qualification for the disclaimer for Auditor General, as such, I don't think that that's the case. I think what needs to happen is to sort of the administration between the two. And the department has been in touch with the Treasury funds for some time now to find a solution to that. And as I report that we have found the solution, only to...
Telco thing in terms of its content, we will still deal with it. Okay. But I just wanted to be sure. because if you come with I, we'll only be able to solve the problems if the department is able to acknowledge the actual problems, the real problems. And is able to acknowledge all the problems and to solve all of them. So I just wanted to say, I think the internal dynamic of any entity is a determinant much, much more than the external. So Delco is an entity outside the department, but internally in the department, we have to isolate the issues that remain challenges and say these are the issues that we don't have. So I just wanted us to maybe let's start again and put Delco aside and say internally, what are our challenges and what are we doing about them? Because you see, DG, 2010-11 was unqualified. 2011-12 qualified. 2012-2013 qualified. 2013-14 displayed. So it is not even constant. It's actually gone down. And where you have a disclaimer, surely there's a multiplicity of factors. I think we wanted to start there. So let's start there. It's now almost a year after the audit. In this past 12 months, we've had time to sit back and reflect, look at things and have our own sense. Where are we?
No, thanks, Roger. Roger, I used the word major, but it was wanted to speak to say we've got the issues. Chair, let me, as you said, maybe let me start again with the internal issues, because if you look at the disclaimer, which is one of up-to-date evidence, you see that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 accounts, which is what I was talking about. And so that made a piece from that. Then if we deal now with the internal issue, let me start with that, which is the assets, as you said, what will be done. Actually, what we think was a problem in the department around the assets, that our problem is in the issue of values.
Okay, maybe let's do it this way. From where you are seated, what are the areas of challenge? Maybe enumerate that one where assets were this, or this, or this, or that. These are those commitments. My worry is that might end up having a 6 minutes presentation on the issue about what they've done about each issue. And then we must go home, because more or less have an idea of what they're doing. So I think for me, I would want us to, from their side, to isolate the issues that we think are a challenge. And then we must then engage them on the basis of what we see, whether we're seeing the same things or not. But most importantly, unlike military veterans, the department has been there for quite some time. The leadership that is there has been there for quite some time. So the issues cannot really be about what's still calling. It's about the fact that leadership has not been effective enough to ensure that we don't have this kind of thing. So, DG, I'll say, let's isolate the issues from where you're sitting. That, you know, when I close my eyes and think of my department, these are the challenges that I've identified that have caused us to be where we are. Then people can then talk about, are we on the same page about the challenges, and then we can move to what next.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. I think the first challenge which we have in the department, which has to deal with, is the amount of skills in the department, which now will relate to issues of leadership. The Department of Home Affairs has been there for many, many years. But the way it has been structured, it was more one centralized approach. When we had those issues we were talking about, then around 2011, that's when we started as a department on a decentralized approach. Then, and we appointed directors for the first time in Home Affairs in 2011. We have a structure at a provincial level, which is managed at a director level. But below that, if you go to our offices, the only people you have there are the ones who are in the front office issuing documents. You don't have the finance people to work. Then we started that process. But when you start something like that, it brings up another challenge, because when it is still in the infant stages, it does not give that benefit which you want, but you have to build it. So that is the first problem which we have in the Department of Home Affairs. Then, with that, then the second problem, which I'll come to say, what are we doing with that? Maybe let people want to say, what are we doing with it? There's no point. Well, that's not me. Okay. Then the second issue you had in Home Affairs, we have been a fully paid-part department, which relied on people filling the forms and all that in order for us to record. But where we are now, if we are not on a modernized technology, then we're going to face these problems, because you can't evaluate things, you can't be sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Hence, now we've gone through that route of us modernizing the department. So on the organizational side, those are the issues which we had. And also, we faced an issue of CFOs in the department. I was the CFO of the Department of Home Affairs myself, starting in 2009, 10 October. And then 10-11, I was appointed as a DG, but without the CFO. So I had to manage both. Then we appointed a CFO who stayed only for a year and left. And then after that, we had another acting CFO that destabilizes the processes, because I want to move this direction and then again. But what we stick to it, which we say at a time we're going to be food for the department, but then we don't want to move away from our decentralized approach, because the operations of the department are decentralized. And finally, we did appoint now a CFO who joined us in September 2013. Those are the issues now which we have organizationally. Now, coming now to the specifics of other issues which we have. And as mentioned, internally, our issue is still the asset. What is the problem with the asset team? Is that, as I said, we're manual. We're managing this thing on a spreadsheet, and having people reading about code with the naked eye and look at a 6, that it is a 6, but it's a 9, and record it incorrectly. And then we had issues of the values to say these assets are sitting at a value which does not support it by a document. But because this was a big issue for us, we had to go to National Treasury, which we did, and say what we made proposals of how we can deal with these matters. With that approval isn't given, I've got those letters which are going to give to the chair. One of the major issues which we had, because around about 2007-08, there was a company which was appointed in the department. They did the asset register, and then they had values there. But now when it was looking for those documents back to the start of the register, then we went to Treasury and say, why don't we segment that asset register and say, there is a requirement of minimum information which you need to have. Your invoice, your order number, when the date of purchase and all that. Then we segmented what we called a ring fence, the assets. What does that mean? Is that those assets now which are not in that category, then they should have documents. But unfortunately, that approval, we got it very late in the year. For us now to have gone out and mark those assets as such. So the approval is there, but marking them was already late, which I'll show in the letter. So that was the first issue which we had in the assets. Then the second one, again, in link with the asset. We've got the project which caused this problem, which we'll be able to solve. But now with the asset, with the second point, we have got an approval now, Chair, of the system called bond. Now, no longer now using manual, that approval was given to us in February 2013. So now 13-14 was the year now when we are capturing all that information which is in a paper, you put it on a system, and then it causes those. But now we've got a system which now we are using a scanner, we are no longer now counting the assets with a naked eye. So that's what was the issue. The major one also, the third one, is that now the system which we had, this board, is not linked with our Lucas system. So that now you make sure that as you procure, it captures your additions. So that's why now there was an issue that we found that there were additions that people have misallocated. And it was even they write when they're buying that asset, they not write it as an asset, they write it as something else. They're not going to be able to capture that. So that is an issue. And the other one was major for us to, unfortunately, even that one was picked up on the really late period of deposit. As a department, we are not owning the properties. The properties are owned by Wesco and by the private users. But with the project, which we call it Look and Feel, where we want our offices to look at the same, but it's not a refurbishment in the sense that now we rebuild the offices. But what we do, we put a tile, we put a paint, and the particular counter, which I counter, is a fixture. Now the question now for us, we're not capitalizing those. Because the thinking was, they want to say, if I move out of this building, I'm not going to be able to move up with that tile. I'm not going to be able to move without that counter, because the counter is something which can't take it from here and use it somewhere else. And then also these properties are not owned by us. Then there was two segments out of it to say, if now the property belongs to the state, we should have gone to public works and be able to add the value in that property. But if it is a lease, you just put the terms out of that lease, you still write it off. So that was the interpretation. Then by the time it goes on from 2008, that's what we're doing. But we never recorded that in our asset register. As government, we take that as a department. We don't have an immovable property. We don't buy properties. So that was the issue around assets. Then, Chair, what did we do? Because if now we have that, and so now we met with the Auditor General first and say, let's get all the managers of the department in one room and say, what are these issues? So that now people can understand from the perspective of Water General to say, yes, we might be saying we are performing in terms of the service delivery, but if on the finance side we are lacking, not going to help us. Based on that, we had a clear a project plan to say, what are the things which we need to do? How we gonna be managing them on a monthly basis? And based on that, we said there's a document which I will leave with you as well. We said which we issued the Department of Minimal Intervention Strategy for improving audit outcomes. It is clear to say what must they do with monthly leave register, what they must do with the asset, what the monthly checklist, what they must do with the first value registers, and all that, it is clear to say what people are doing on a monthly basis. So after that outcome of that meeting, then even on the 26th of February, that's when now people are coming back now to us and say, these are the things which we have agreed upon, how they've been doing those things. Further, there was now a meeting between the Auditor General and our minister to say, what are the commitments which as a department we are giving to the Auditor General, which are managed at a level of the minister, and say, these are the things we have agreed upon, I want to see that how are we implementing this. And then within the office of the Auditor General to deal with these matters, besides now the chief executives which are here, I am linking directly with Mr. Jan Skakvik because it is pitched up at that level. So we've got our meetings at certain intervals to make sure that we are able to address this. So, Chair, that's what I was saying. Now, those are the challenges which we have internally, which we need to deal with it. So we are taking people into the processes of training, and the issue which we have, which we have started to deal with it, is that issues of consequences have been talked about. So the first issues we started with around that matter was the issue of people did not disclose their financial interest, which are senior managers. We dealt with them to make sure that what we said is got consequences. Chair, we have been written letters now of people, even if they did not submit, because in the process of the performance information, one of our challenges was that people are able to say to us, I've achieved this, and then they record that. When now the time of auditing that, find that the audit evidence is not supporting what we were given, then we came up with the process with internal audit that all our quarterly reports, before we go to a quarterly review, they must be checked by internal audit. When that did not happen, we wrote to those DDGs, not to the lower level, to the DDGs, and say, you must account why you can't take a disciplinary action against you if you did not do that. So, we are putting those interventions in the department around these issues. And we are saying now with our approach that we have put now the responsibilities where it's supposed to be, and we have appointed people as now responsibility managers. They know that I've got a responsibility in my area of operations. And here we said, one of the things which we implemented in the department, because we found out that this problem of the leave is that if in the attendance register is only the lower staff who is signing, we said, oh, we change that. Every manager in Home Affairs now is signing an attendance register. Why we did that? Not only to say the manager must sign, but the question would be, if now there is a person who was on leave, we found out that that leave was not recorded in the attendance register. When you were signing it as a manager, why did not check? So we are putting those tangible processes so we make sure that we are able to correct this. So I'm saying internally, that's what we have done, and we have acknowledged the challenges which are in the department as I'm putting them, what we're dealing with. But as major issues, I'm saying is that we are a decentralized department, and we took that approach so that we can able to cause with the delegation of powers. Let me talk about now payment as an example within 30 days.
Can we intervene and get to the specific? I think you were correct, and members are going to speak later on. I mean, can I just ask five specific questions? I agree with AG and Treasury that some of these matters are internal. I just want to deal with the internal matters. Just four or five of them, because it will give us a sense on the things that DG is talking about. If you allow me to do that, Chair, and I apologize, DG, for interrupting, but can I go to page 153 as an example, and then you'll tell me, together with members, if that approach is helpful. But you mentioned 153. I don't know if it's called note or paragraph 43 and 44. You talk about investigation in progress, for instance. It says we have an investigation for fraud. Two employees have been dismissed and one resigned. And then it says a further investigation by the public protector. This is last time. Can we, for instance, get what is the latest today? Just where that is. Because that helps us in terms of the consequences you're talking about. And I would want to know, Chair, you know, if we're talking about fraud and corruption, why would we dismiss and not have a criminal case? And that person has resigned, who is he or she? Because if he's still in the employ of the state, then we must chase him away. You can't resign from Home Affairs and re-emerge in local government, for that type of thing. If you could give us that time, I'll go to 3 or 4 there, or you understand?
I'll deal with them one by one, so that each question is responded to fully.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. Yeah.
And one again, Congress, if there are follow-ups that you want to make, let's note them down. When it's done, and the process is done, then we can come back.
Yes, no, thanks, Chair. I think this is an important point. Chair, this person, when we say is dismissed in the departmental processes, but this person was arrested. I will keep the name. Is arrested, serving a sentence in jail. Who's the name of the guy? What's in question? It's Kosana. So Kosana is in jail because of this case. So what we're saying is that we report what we have done as a department at that time, but we also opened a criminal case, and that person is arrested and serving a sentence. Coming to Kosana.
Yeah, you're coming to?
To the second one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sir, this issue is conducted by Public Protector and the Hawks. What what is the progress? Sir, you will recall that we had a settlement with Kijima. And when we settled with Kijima, we put it clear that if there are wrongdoings in that process, by settling it, we are not taking anything under the carpet. Then based on that, Public Protector came to the department and as well wanted to investigate the matter. The FIU also wanted to investigate the matter. Then as a department, we said, okay, in this case, let's leave things with the Public Protector. Every time, Chair, we are going to them to understand how far they've moved with that issue. That is what we are talking about here. Then the matter of... So Public Protector has not yet come to us and said how far they moved with that matter. So it is still within the hands of Public Protector.
You go and check with Public Protector how far are you. It's one thing to not have completed the process, but it's quite another to say, toward completion, this is how far I've gone. This is where I am.
No.
Are they investigating or they are going to investigate?
No, they are investigating. That's something that we meet with the Public Protector to say they are them who are investigating the matter. So as the department, we concluded everything. As we said, we studied the matter and all that we reported, and then that's what they are doing. Yes, yes. And the other one, which is with the Hawks Chair, that person now, that is another case where people are arrested. What happened in this case, a person within the department solicited a bribe to a person who was controlling something within the department. Then there was a process now of getting into that to giving them, say, this guy wanted the 100,000 rent, and then there was a treatment in the process, and then based on that process, and then the people were arrested. A company, with this person was representing a company, had been taken to a court process. The company as a company, that case has already been finalized of the company. Then with the employees, then with the provincial court to deal with it. So that's what we are doing with these cases.
It's just on that one, and I'm happy something is in there, but can we ask the accounting officer to keep us abreast? When I say us, I'm talking about the committee. Because if you are unable to put pressure under the serious, the Office for Serious Crimes or whatever, or the Public Protector, certainly we can do that. Because the intention is to have consequences. We can't have an investigation carrying on so long, but I'm happy with that. Just the next one, should we go to payables? The Auditor General, Warburg, for instance, in the auditors, in the year report, Reynolds 13. You know, again, as I was saying, Chair, all these things relate to the ruling party of the day's policy. President stands up as the state of the nation, he says everybody's going to be paid within 30 days so that business continues. Small business and those type of things. And government is going to be the lead agent in that. This might not be small business, it's probably intergovernmental, but the principle that remains. Could you explain to us why is it that it's difficult to pay within 30 days? the cash flow from the energy thing, 29 million rand. You've deposited in terms of a commitment by the president. The payments will be made within 30 days. 29 million. Could you explain to us what is the problem? Is it a cash flow problem? Is it just negligence on behalf of people who must be doing payments in your office? Why is it 20 million rand? Or is this statement misleading? Because the AG is here. If it's misleading, then they must tell us it's misleading. But this is a public document. And then it was running. Can you explain the 20 million rand that is outstanding?
No, thanks, sir. Let me explain. As asked, right, Chair, but as first, the budget of the department is in our books is over 6 billion rand. And out of that 6 billion rand, we have to pay it out. But, Chair, there is a process in these matters that we are not withholding a payment in order to save. The answer to that is not allowed. But the process is that you get this invoice. He's got information which is not complete. Like one of the cases which we had, a person does not have a right tax process. And when you pick that thing up, yes, you can't pay that invoice, but you receive it, have it, so you couldn't pay it. And then also, as I've said, even on my opening statement and say, we still got some challenges based on our decentralized approach. To find that a particular province has got this invoice and all that, and by the time we come to the end of the year, they were still following up those processes, but we don't withhold. So it's not a question to say we were running away from overspending or all that, but these are the cases which we have. I've got a contractor who was in the department who came to the department and said, this is my tax certificate. When we're in the process of making the payment, we pick it up and says, no, we can't pay you just because this is within 30 days. So as a department, it's something which we're managing it to make sure that we don't do that. And so I'm saying 28 million is still a lot of money, but it's out of the 6 billion rand which were paid in that particular year. So the statement is correct to say there was 28 million rand which we did not pay to the suppliers.
Thanks. Can I, as I asked yesterday, and I know Auditor General is independent and we can't influence them, but can we find a way of at least contextualizing this AG at some point? I know that your policy would say, my concern really is, when my constituency reads this report, without the benefit of what you are saying, the message that goes out is that government is not paying. And if the AG is correct in terms of I'm not paying because this invoice does not comply, it's a different story. Because had he paid, the next thing would be he's paying on incorrect information. So, I mean, it can't be beaten up for both ways. So all I'm saying, Chair, we just would need to find a way. It is not paid, but we must be saying there is context to why it's not being paid. And I'm saying that because I'm part of that in your briefing earlier this week. But I'm saying that going forward, Chair, because these are public documents. That's my concern. I can tell you that if somebody here went and did a summary of all the annual reports, just on this matter, for instance, on all the annual reports, tomorrow the newspaper will say government has not paid 100 billion rand because they picked up all the 35 reports. But it doesn't say 90 billion of this 100 billion rand is because the invoice is a policy. You understand what I'm saying? And then the publicity is really not paid. So that's the only point that I'm making, sir. But, DG, I'm comfortable with your approach, and I'm sure we'll follow up offline in terms of those invoices. Again, 28 million, whether it's 6 million or 60 million, it's not the issue. The issue is that you must pay 30 days. Even one day is too much, if it's over 30 days. I don't know if you have a follow. If that's going to happen, then I'll go with my last question.
No, that's fine. I'll ask who gave the question. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, I think this paragraph basically speaks to what would have constituted unauthorized extension in the department data. I think there's another non-compliance paragraph earlier in the report that speaks of payments within 30 days. I think it might be noted that in instances where there's a valid process where it is where the fund hasn't paid because there's a dispute, can items like that not result in the reporting of the non-compliance? So we've had cases like this through the audit, and those we've excluded where the department can provide corresponds to say, here's my dispute to this entity, or here's my problem in this case. In those instances, then we would exclude that from the reporting. So what we're reporting here is purely Unfortunately, we don't look at the total amount, you understand? But I think there is something that we can take forward. Right.
No, I think then the point is made, Chair, that beyond 30 days must be paid, and you are saying that there are instances where that hasn't happened. Okay. Then we will ask the department to do that. If I then, Chair, could take us to... page 184, Chair. 184.
And I'm sorry, many of my colleagues, if you were going to cut them specifically, you must indicate that I won't talk to them, because they might just order on internal control, I'm not sure. But 184, can I continue? Thank you, sir.
On page 184, Chair, the irregular expenditure and then the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Again, my question is around the irregular expenditure. Again, I think you indicated, sir, that irregular doesn't necessarily mean there's wrongdoings or so on. But what concerns me is that you are saying these matters are still under investigation. Could you indicate to us of those five or six matters that are still under investigation, how many have been concluded? And those that are not concluded, what is the holdup? What is the holdup? We are, again, as I'm indicating, less than 30 days to the next financial year. Surely 30 days or 11 months should be sufficient for us to investigate and conclude. Not compliance with supply chain management, purchases without three quotations. What are we investigating for 30 days? You didn't get three quotes. You didn't get three quotes. What are you investigating for a whole year? I'd rather you say to me, no, it was not done and these are the controls that you put into place to make sure that it happened. Or it was not done because this guy did it deliberately and we chased him or her away. But we can't have an investigation a year later. That's the question. How far are we with these?
No, thanks, sir. As we've indicated to say, this was a report as at 31st of March, because at that date, you need to give what do you have. So in the department, we did establish first what we called a theft and losses committee, because we didn't have it before. Because the role of that committee is that I can make, as we are saying, that when it means irregular, it does not mean maybe the money to have that process. So now we need that, not to have that committee, which must sit and look at each of the cases and be able to do this. So we can submit now the report to the committee, how far we've done with each one, but we have taken the actions around these cases.
Can you just give us a sense quickly, what have you done? Because remember, we want to be able to start thinking of the recommendations. Unless you say, we want to be writing it fine, but as soon as you be able to take us, these are the kind of issues that we're putting in place to make sure that three codes are begun. I'm sure you should be able to say that to us. And that's why we've got the expert here, because we look at AG and we say, are you happy with that approach? We look at Treasury and say, are you happy with that approach? Because ours is to help you out. Part of ours is to say, no, your approach is wrong, do it this way. I'm not asking for all of them, but just one or two of them. What is it you're doing?
Yeah, you see, Chair, I'm saying that we want to send the documents sent in the department. Why do you start by saying, firstly, though, the first issue you need to have, they must be reported. So we're saying, has all irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure been reported to the CFO? That's the first thing we want. Because if you didn't do that, then there's a bit more you were hiding. Once it is picked up by the Auditor General. Then the next thing we're saying, has all your BI footage signed by a delegated official? Because if it is signed by delegated authority, we are able to say, you should have looked at it whether we have complied with all this. And then is there? So that's what we're doing. So Chair was saying that we can look at it. Let me come there. If you look at it, we've already split these things. We know about them. Let me take one. Cancellation fee of a flight. It depends what we are investigating is to say. I was called to come to a meeting in Cape Town. Myself, I didn't pitch up. Then in that instance, it's your responsibility. But I booked a flight, the meeting was cancelled, I'm able to produce an evidence. So say, no, I did not go to this meeting because it was cancelled at the late hour. However, the person was booking, he had to say to me, I must pay. Then this one, this case is about five people. Official checked out of accommodation without notification. what we checked there, an employee go into a meeting which was like precise day, get recalled. Gets recalled and say there's something else you need to come and do it in headquarters, then in that case, that's where you have. But if that official in this case left without anything, then we demand a repayment of that. So I'm making an example to say, like this one now of interest not paid or late as a class. The person kept the invoice, there was no delay, that's what it. So what I'm saying is we will be able to submit you the now a report and say, this one, this is what we have done, this one is what we have done.
I think right from the case of the regular credit, can you be able to have that list? This is what was involved, these are the amounts, this is if you have concluded, this is what we have done, we have condoned it, or we found someone guilty, go through a disciplinary process. And then I think what would require is you maybe on a quarterly basis an appraiser on those that are still outstanding to say, fine, there were 13, three are concluded, this is what's happening, the other 10, they're still outstanding. A quarter later, out of the 10, 7 have been concluded, 3 are left, so that until you are satisfied that everything has been sorted out from a regular expenditure, full expenditure, full expenditure. I think that's fine.
Okay. Just on that point, if we go to the next page then, and that's what I'm there, the ages here. You see, if you go to the next page around profit management, 152, it says the effective appropriate disciplinary steps were not taken against officials who made irregular and fruitless expenditure. Did you say that in this case there is a process in place? And again, maybe at the date this was done. But this was not done on the 31st, according to general. It was not done on the 31st, surely. On the 31st, there was irregular expenditure. I don't know when you signed this off. In August, in September. So between August and September, the question I'm asking you, this statement that you're making here, that irregular expenditure, was that the 31st of May? I'm guessing you did. All I'm asking is I understand that on the 31st of March, this is the problem. The Auditor General signs off something in September, and he makes a statement which is not been paid. The question that I'm asking basically is that this statement that you made, would it be a statement as old as the 31st of May, or would it be as regular? And I don't expect it to be on the 8th of September, but it would be close to the 8th of September. I'm only asking that so that if GG is saying that these matters have been resolved, why are you having it here? If it had not been resolved at that day, but is resolved subsequent to that, it's fine. Then you satisfy what the chair is saying. I'm just wanting to check on that because we must hold them accountable. My question to you, AG, is what were you referring to when you made the statement of the 0.37? Does it refer to those matters that I was talking to on the irregular expenditure of the 31st of March? That's the only question I'm asking.
Honorable Chair, through you, I think just to put context to it, you know, we report for financial year until 31 March. Understand? So it's basically related to the financial year. But the cases we are referring to there specifically relates to the previous financial year, because remember, there's a guideline from National Treasury, key accounting officer, or the accounting authority in terms of public entity, to investigate these either, you know, potential fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure before recording it as irregular expenditure. So what we said was that these related to cases for the year ending 31 March 2013. Okay, so year after that, saying by 31 March 2014, the case of the previous year, you know, those things, the actions, the processes are not taking place. And I think what in last week's meeting, I sort of put in context where I said, you know, with the DG alluded to the fact that there was not a chief financial officer in the department, and all those gaps meant that certain processes in the department do not have, for example, loss control. And that would potentially explain why you had that. Those cases, they're fine, let's just say, those went in that area and disciplinary steps weren't taken, because it was sort of put on hold, but it relates to a previous financial, and it's not those transactions that's looking for the current financial.
Thank you very much. My final point here would be then on 152, and again, it's probably more progress. Page 152, from point 29,
probably all the way to let's say 2033. Financial statements were not prepared in accordance with the requirements, page 151 of the annual report, page 151, page 29, and paragraph 29, paragraph 30. I'm just going to all of them.
That's
all of those things.
Now you're modern.
No, that's not saying. No, they want to do it. It's fine. Then I'll rest my case here. Then he can recover them. It's fine.
That's fine. Let's hand it over to him then.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Smith. Chair, if I could just start as a preamble to this, I know you want to get into those. Can everybody hear me okay? Alright. If we go to page 137 of the annual report, we see there a lovely table, Chair, of where the department has set out its charges in terms of disciplinary hearings. And we're told that there are 161 disciplinary hearings. Well, I don't see, because you've got your absenteeism, dereliction of duty, financial misconduct, etc., etc. Financial misconduct, amazingly, there were only 8 of them. Fraud and corruption, gross negligence, etc., etc. But you don't see anything here stating that the DG or the DDG will hold up for legislative non-compliance. Because if I look at the record of your department, since 2010, so 2009, you've had legislative non-compliance issues. 5 years in a row. But where's the discipline hearing for the accounting officers who are responsible for legislative non-compliance? And if I take that further, your excuse that there was no CFO, I'm trying to say, is a bit disingenuous. Because if we look at page 98 of your own report, it states that in 98, under 12.8, evaluation of finance function. This is your report, not the AG report. The CFO resigned in September 2013. So that means in that year from April to September 2013, there was in fact a CFO. Then from that time onwards, an acting CFO was appointed. But obviously, it was just 1 month or a couple of weeks until March 2014. So under the year under review, there was in fact a CFO. Because one of your excuses that you've used, DG, is that none of this could be done properly because there wasn't a CFO. Which begs the question, is the only person in the entire Department of Home Affairs with any financial knowledge or any knowledge of PFMA, Treasury regulations, the public service regulations, the CFO? Is that the only person? Has the DG and the DDG read any of those documents? Because the continual non-compliance with legislation makes one wonder, were you actually familiar with the regulations, familiar with the provisions of all these legislative requirements? Because the mistake is made over and over and over again. Then, if we go to where Honourable Smith's list is now, which is now page 151, and it starts at 151, and see, I'm being relatively aggressive on this because it's not just one or two little items. As Honourable Smith started to point out, it starts on in paragraph 29 and 151, where it starts with not against the financial reporting framework, the PFMA. Then we go on to, and then once again, my question is it only the CFO knows how to do this? So if the CFO's gone, are we saying that if a CFO leaves the department, the entire thing just falls flat? Because no one else there knows how to adhere to the PFMA. Then we look at the material misstatements not corrected. The next point, number 30. Is it only the CFO does that? Who was the CFO at the time that they did not sort out in the period under review? Then you go to human resources. Once again, one of the major, major problems in the Department of Home Affairs is that there's a huge problem of capacity. Instances where posts were not advertised within 6 months and not filled within 12 months. Whose deficiency was that? One has to look to the top. We've not controlled properly. We saw in the AG briefing that a massive problem. Maybe that's one of the reasons why our residents have to wait so long in their home affairs, because there's no one available to actually help. Because we don't have a clue where people are on leave, where they've taken leave, where they're going on leave. That's how we got on. It was touched on by Honorable Smith. The assets register is a nightmare. Then we're not setting the contract obligations. Now, Honorable Smith went into that. The question I've got the DG there is, and it was countered by the AG. It's very easy to say, yes, there's 29 million outstanding because the invoices went right. Are you able to provide proof of that? Because the AG doesn't agree with you. The AG is saying that figure is people whose documentation is correct. There's nothing wrong with that documentation. So who's right here? So I think going forward, I think the DG should supply us with a full breakdown of the entire 29 million and who has not been paid and why. Because either the AG's being economical with the truth or the DG is. We need to know which one. Because 29 million is a chunk of change. And there are a lot of small businesses, I'm sure Honorable Smith would agree, could go and they said they'd pay that kind of money as soon as promised. And of course it goes against what the President is asking us to do. So please, we can't sit here and say, well, you've got documents aren't correct, and then the AG directly contradicts you. If we then go further, Honorable Smith has touched on it. What is actual action being taken by the regulatory
authority?
Right.
Why don't we allow the DG to respond to the things
you're saying? That's fine, and then I'll go on to
the I don't want things to be lost.
No, I understand. I can elucidate that. I know we're through that fast, see. But we can also get the, when that's done, I'll get on to internal controls in our second part, but I shall be very brief on that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, members. The report was specified that you said the DDT would just give a number. Let me start, Chair, and say, in the department can give a proof. We just dismiss now a DDG counter-corruption on a treatment, on an appointment issue. So that would submit. Secondly, the head of internal audit was dismissed in the department only to the issues of not dealing with a chief director. That's why I was just appointed the head of internal audit was only appointed in July. Was dismissed. A chief director was responsible for asset management in the 2011-12 was demoted to a director. It's challenging us in court. So in the report, I don't write and say it's this person and this person. And I also indicated that we are, even now, we've got, in fact, the people who we dealt with it want the non-disclosure of interest. Because that's below level 5 is the SML numbers. And also I indicated here that now with the new processes we have put in place, I have produced those letters tend to treat DGs, not lower staff, and say, this is what you're supposed to be doing, you did not. So the discipline in the department is not for certain people and not for the others. So tell us where we are in terms of discipline. So I think with the CFO, I did indicate, it's a permanent CFO. If you read, part of the commitment was given by the minister was to appoint a permanent CFO. And by that, we are not saying everything is the responsibility of the CFO, but leadership is needed in an organization. If you've got someone who's acting, that's why I split it, sir. I said, October 2009 to 1st April 2010, I was the full-time CFO of the Department of Foreign Affairs. 2010 April, I said I was an acting CFO and a DG. We appointed the CFO on January 2011. And then that CFO resigned. If you read this report, it's an acting CFO. That's what I was talking about. I never said there was no CFO. What I was talking about the permanent. I said a permanent CFO. And again, I attend, as the CFO in the report said, from March 2014 until August, until I appointed a permanent. But in that current year, that's what we had. That's why I said permanent, but we had the acting. That's what I was talking about. So I was not misleading the committee. And the issue of SAF just been raised by the general themselves when they were meeting with the minister and said, "Minister, if I take leadership position, we don't have permanent, it creates that paralysis in the department." So that's why we are emphasizing the issue of SAF. Coming to the matter of the leave, I did mention it up front to say that is a challenge we have. Hence, we said now managers must sign their leave. Let me tell another issue challenge we had, which now this afternoon I'll be announcing that. The problem we had in home affairs, which is causing these problems, is that with a shift system where people be taken off, if I worked on a Saturday, I must take care of. If I'm in a border post, I work this day, and then people in that leave issue, you find that the person now was off, but at that time he was on leave, not on an off basis. That's why now this afternoon we'll be announcing now how Home Affairs has changed now the working hours, so that now we take out our people get off. So now our employees are now going to work 6 days, but at a 40 hours, so that I don't have a staff who is off, but only in the civic profile offices. But in the port of entry, because the port of entry is a 24-hour operation. So I still, on that one, I don't yet have, if I accept what was said like that, how do we control this issue of leave? And the leave last year, share on the qualification. But in this, it was not. It was not yet a qualification matter. It's been a challenge because of what we are putting in the system. I did only payments within 50 days, but I say, I think even when I started, I said, payments within 30 days is still a challenge because we did decentralize. I said, some invoices is because offices at a decentralized level, they still got those challenges. Some of them were not paid because of that issue. I never said all of them, there is no issues around, but I said, we've got the problems of leaves with the documents which are not complete, we've got the issues where the provinces, because of a decentralized approach we have taken. That's why we are managing, even in our letter, we are clear now in terms of, which I said, I must read it, chair, to say, has the unit submitted all invoices to finance within 2 days of receipt? So we are controlling it now from the receipts. Has an invoice been received for all contractors? That's what we're following. So that's what we've done on these issues.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I will be brief. I'm not just curious to DG. I have a check in my hat that the leaf issue was finding by the Auditor General. So, okay, there it is, Roger. In terms of internal control, and can I address this, the question to Mr. Gander? Mr. Gander, I noted on page 97, that you have the set out of your audit committee members, and you headed that, I believe. Was it Mr. N. Rousseau who was removed, or was that retired?
He's retired.
Okay. Just my initial question to you was, why is it big enough fee for an audit committee? And what sort of staff members do you have under you that help you run the entire internal control or audit process?
Sure. Subsequent to the year end, two additional members were appointed. But it's not in the support of Dr. Andrews March. So there were two further members. One's an attorney, and the other person is got skills in HR and governance. So there are two. Mr. Rousseau had completed, I think it was 3 terms, so he could not be reappointed.
Cool. Then the final issue I just have under internal control is that, and I just want to quote from the report and just put it to the DG or anybody else in your team would like to answer. Page 102. And I think this paragraph really goes to the heart of what's wrong at Home Affairs. some officials are diligent and ethical. However, there are instances which point to the following challenges. This is on the left hand side chair, second paragraph down. There isn't a number, unfortunately. Non-compliance, disregard for authority, and a lack of self-discipline. Proper governance administration is not in fully entrenched management. In some instances, low morale, poor ethics, and also unauthorized absence. A culture of entitlement rather than striving for excellence. Subtle resistance and malicious compliance in some areas. Now that is your report, DG. I credit you for putting those things out. I don't know if it was yourself or whoever is responsible for this job. But those four lines are very salient points. Now my question that I'm going to end off with is, what are you going to do to change that culture? Because the entire problems, as far as I see, can be summed up in those four lines. What are you going to do in the next year? What have you already done in this current year? Because we're going to talk about that next year. What are you going to do in the years to come to sort those four problems out? Because I'm sure Mr. Smith will agree, we're not going anywhere. So you've made undertakings here today, and we will quiz you on those undertakings in a year's time. In all fairness, I think you'll agree in all fairness. So the question is, what are you going to do? Let that be your benchmark, sir. What are you going to do about that to show us that there's improvement? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honourable Member. You know, I will disclose that yet, but the minister will be launching a program which will come up in the department called Leadership. What it means, I am a leader. So what that project means is that we have said, how do we deal with these soft issues? Yes. Because hard issue is your standard operating procedure in order that you need people to take that lead. So we are changing that. So there are four streams which we have, which are led by each division. And then we are going to offices, which we say, what that office, how must it operate? That's why now we're even changing these working hours I'm talking about. We did not agree, actually, with the unions, they might strike. But they took a decision. They said, no, we're going to do this thing. We're going ahead. In that, one of the issues we have changed, in home affairs, on the last Wednesday of the month, the offices will only be open at 9, so that they're fine to the public. Why do I want that 1 hour, 30 minutes? In home affairs, there is no time where people can meet and just discuss operations. You can train them. Even myself as a DG, or when I visit an office, I can't go and close the office because I'm there. But that 1 hour, which we're going to have, 1 hour, 30 minutes, must deal with this issue. So managers must have a space and say, how best can we deal with issues? How to deal with these issues of no morale? Because the issue of no morale is more coming from perceptions than realities. Because people are not informed properly of what is happening. But once you do that, that's what you do. Training is there. Minister was, what was the date? We had a graduation of about 131 employees to our land academy. But in order to end up there, we must do a survey. We have trained so many people. What changes do we see? So governments and administrations, what we're talking about and saying, if people, they don't have processes to say, this is what are my responsibilities, I need to report to this. Don't just report for the sake of reporting. So now this week, another thing, we have changed our performance contracts after the meeting with the Auditor General. We met with the department, we amended our performance contracts for 2014-15 to include matters of that within 5 days we want to see a report that managers have gone and work in the front office, not anywhere else. So we'll be doing those things. So we are really dealing with the issues, culture of entitlement rather than driving for excellence. So by the time the report was out, we were ready to finalize the issues of performance bonuses. I want to report to you. When the reports were out, Minister, based on what we have, not a single manager in Human Affairs has received a bonus for 2013 football. This thing was people, a culture of entitlement rather than striving for excellence. That is not. Then with the staff below, I've got a legal opinion because the first reaction was no to anyone. But the legal opinion came back to us and said, no, you can't do it. Like that. But we have to sit and reduce it as far as okay. So those are the things which we are doing to ensure that we deal with it.
All right. Okay. No, that's good.
Yes, you can continue, Professor.
That's me. I'm done, Chief.
You? Oh, you're there.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions? I know the other two are already warming up for their home. So they want to conserve energy. okay. Yes, please.
One of our members are saying that we will do this monitoring over a year. No, what we are saying that what I want to hear is because we have made a commitment to the public that we are going to be quiet on every person that is supposed to account. We are not going to shift from that responsibility. So it's quite just this. With our team cover, as long as we are here, we just come down on our cups. Even the soccer ones, when the leader is a leader, we get to do that work. Our priority is to get the public together and deliver. We've got no other way to do it. You know, in all the things that Eastern has been asking, you know, other honorable members, there's this thing of claims. 194. How do you explain this? Because there's no fear of your will. You have not paid, so you have not paid Puma travel. The billing dispute, the billing dispute with GZ, penalty of interest. You know these are very staggering things. Supposed to be responsible. How do you do this? And how do you explain this? What is it a good morning in this environment?
Okay, thanks for that. Yes, as we put it clearly, so that it is also fit, because this is what a talk, it means that in this case, she fit as either, as W was a designer, there's W invoiced us. So now we're in dispute and say now these invoices, and then we're paid because of this particular flight which we have there. And then Duma Travel, already we have to change a travel agent. They're no longer our travel agent. But at the point of cutting off, there were invoices which came to us, which is like, now how is it possible that you issued this when they're no longer in contract with us? So those are the claims which were delivered to TG.
Are you saying that they sent you invoices without anyone having used the
service? Yes, I don't know of the cases which you answer. They double invoice.
I'm talking about Duma.
Yes. I'm saying Duma, as the case that there was an invoice which we received, we paid it. Because this plane was in this hotel on this date and this date. And thereafter, they sent another one. And then same date, same person. And so on. So, it can be possible. I think the one under contingent flight is that's what we're doing. The other is should have the court case. Litigation, yes, yeah. So, Chair, there are two biggest amounts that the one is of a Newton technology, which I claim that there was a contract with it, is a matter in court. The other one is a double ring of about 176 million rand. Then the other one isn't cleared now. It was about 400 million. It was a dollar claim amount for a person that did not get their payment. But that matter now is being settled. So these contingent liabilities for this year, they would be reduced. They were raised.
How was it settled?
In
Asia, can you just get an indication of who on the first?
Thank you very much.
Account. He knows Parliament is meeting. This is how it creeps in under my name of Parliament. People are accounting the runners, they hop around the world, and they forget that the responsibility is accounted. And then when there are challenges here, we keep on talking about the challenges. For him, he must offer a matter of fact. At the scope of our reality, and then we are more and more trying to tell everybody that. We invite you either this year or get the proper information. But leave it to this, we were not really happy that the DG is not leaving his own team. The accounts, they must come and account. There's quite a number of issues that we are concerned about that are before you.
Sir, thanks. I think the two of you adequately covered the message that you must send to the DG. But I'm sending a message to you because I'm a good Christian and let me help you. It's very dangerous for you, Mr. Sami, to claim to be the leader of this education. Because I said to two departments before you that this year people are going to pay for their financial misconduct. Now, the irregular expenditures and all those type of things, public finance management act is very clear on financial misconduct. I'm just wondering, and this is the message I was sent to you, is, you know, if we find here that there's been negligence and so on, and you agree to it in this meeting, and we take a decision to fire him, you understand what I'm saying, or to for him to pay the price of it, you inadvertently going to become the problem. Because we're not going to revert it on the basis that you are acting on somebody. So, I'm not saying you are being used or you're being raised, but I'm just saying to every government official, be very careful of coming to appear before this committee going forward, unless you're going to take it all the way as they're coming off it. Because that is the message, and I hope the media's here, that is the message that we are sending. If you appear before this committee, it means you're going to take the responsibility and not going to say, well, all I'm doing is I'm asking on behalf of Majid. And therefore, Baba told to myself, we'll deal with you. The resolution will be on the basis of your responses, and you will then carry it here. So I'm saying to you, just be very careful, because it might be a legitimate thing. But I have a consistency that I enforce to when I go back to job. I have consistency that I enforce to. And I can't go to them and say, no, but the officials are overseas or officials are wherever. And the irregular expenditure as there is in your case. So, I don't know how you're going to manage it to everybody else, but be aware when you're here before us, on the basis of that resolution, you might carry the gap. So I'm not going to say you, in this case, but I'm saying the end of the year. I think we must send that message, that you can't come here, if you can't have a good way, you can't lead the delegation, but don't pay the price. If you want to lead the delegation, then pay the price. And in some instances, there are going to be places to pay in this fight, in this rest assured, guys. Somebody is going to get arrested. Somebody is going to get a fine. It is financial. Even if it's only to send the letter. So make sure that you are not the guilty party, wherever you are. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to repeat what's been said, but I just want to place on record that we accept you, what you're suggesting, the way forward, and taking into account the other honorable member's comment. But just for the record, this department has a disclaimer. It's not here because this is a report back meeting, some kind of oversight meeting. This department has a disclaimer. It's in a serious, serious mess. The Solicitor General cannot confirm any of your figures. And the accounting officer then treats us with such disdain that he goes somewhere else where she goes. And please, Mr. Chairman, that for the record, we'll go along with it, but we are very.
All right. No, that's fine. And can we now deal with the matters that relate to Telco and before we deal with Telco and Aluta?
This is just one item, Chair. And I guess interdepartmental. As I understand it, DDG, sorry. You are an agent for Home Affairs. In other words, somebody gets a passport in England. Home Affairs is our president. You have collected a
from the, you would collect the money for whatever it's done and give the money to Home Affairs and try and just link into the fiscal. We're sitting with 741 million rand, and 674 million rand, and it's not all related to those type of things. This is the principle that we want to get right. And I know that the DG is trying to explain it. But we have this thing where you collect money, you give the money to them, and that money they use for services and whatever the case is. But we're sitting on lots of money that is outstanding for a long time. The problem, therefore, is that we can't build a house because this money is outstanding for a long time somewhere else. You guys need to fix it up between the two of you. But the second issue also, as I understand the chair, is that when the money is collected by you, it goes into a suspense account. Treasury regulations, as far as I am aware, say that suspense accounts must be cleared within 30 days. That's the treasury regulation. Within 30 days, suspense accounts must be cleared. So the point that I'm making to you as DERCO, so that you don't have a problem with treasury, that you guys need to find a way here I'm not interested whether it's because they're not ready to receive the money, or that's not my problem. My problem is treasury regulation says 30 days. If that treasury regulation is not practical, talk to treasury, because then you'll always be in default of treasury regulation. Do you guys understand what we are saying? And that would be what will make what you'll be better by. So, as you resolve this thing, Nina, either fix up the treasury regulations, get Home Affairs to accept it without invoice, or Home Affairs will find you. I understand all the problems that you have. For us, that money must get into the fiscus as soon as possible, so that that money can be used for service delivery somewhere else, and then we don't sit with this in the department, so you owe me, and we owe you. So there's no financial mismanagement or whatever. I just think we must do things better. That's all that I'm saying. Going forward, I don't know DG, Home Affairs, Plenty, and yourself, Sadi, how far we are at that process. All we are saying is, and I'm sure it won't be resolved for this financial year, yeah, because we're 2 months away from it, but going forward, can we find a way that we reduce the payables on the one side and the receivables on the other side, and that this might get into the fiscal. My appeal, Chair, is maybe they should talk to us if they got something, or otherwise, can they give us a progress report in writing, so that in our own recommendations later on, we pronounce on this matter. I'm not sure how you take it forward. I just thought we must raise it so that they must clear it between the two of us.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to go where we are, not where to go. Chair, we did receive the transparency. We did receive, we wanted to deal with this matter in particular to something. We did receive an approval from Treasury that ECO can take money and deposit it directly to the revenue fund. But what was the issue? Is that in the same letter, it was saying that if there is an error and omissions within that process of ECO, it will still account for us. Then based on that, then the Auditor General, we met with them on the matter as well. Then Auditor General's recommendation was that, why don't we go to the PSA and then transfer that function of collecting to DECO. And if that has happened, then now the responsibility now will be both. DECO will collect, deposit direct to the National Revenue Fund, and then also account for it. Then you know, the PSA came back, why that might be problematic. But DECO has written a letter to the Accountant General agreeing that they want this, but they got the systems. Then they can take this money, deposit it to the revenue fund, and also be accounted for it. Then I met with the Accountant General last week to say, how can we deal now with this matter now of the responsibility? So that's what now where we are. If now we are working on that and see how we can clear it. Then on the payable side, that DECO pays expenses on our behalf. Treasury, we also approach them to say, why don't we transfer the whole baseline amount? So that now DECO does not pay a landlord and send that invoice to me and then I pay DECO. Why DECO can't pay the landlord the rent and then ends there?
So then our treasury has approved the budget given this year, and the first letter which we received that we can do this, but that was not implemented because there were still other issues now we need to deal with it. So I'm still waiting for a final letter in regards to this. So where we are is at a point now of taking a decision now to say how do we deal with that accountability part, but the one that they can deposit with them is already approved. But nice to say, fine, if they take and deposit it, if it is in totality, that is okay. But the letter from TICO is supporting that.
I don't know if you want to make any input, but you will not teaching that this matter we had raised in this committee some time ago. This is one of those issues that have just been hanging out there. And this time around we said no. That's why we have the hearing today as it is, because we said no, we need to have both of you here so that this can be spoken to as it's a standalone issue for which we need to have time frame for resolution and just have it hanging on and on and on and on forever. Do you want to make any good comments?
You see, DJ, what we, when we listen to the auditor general, we say there's been an engagement and promises for quite a long period. These things are not personal, it's in the discussion about government. There's comments, you sit there and you deal with voters. And when we deal with voters, they get this question, government can't manage its own pocket. You see? Because the president has said that, yes, we must not be able to work out how to manage the fiscal. And that is a very bad impression, that after 20 years, we should be seeing the same thing. Can't be doing the same rapport all the time. That's why it's interesting that COPA would want to treat our food challenge and go through what the PFP suggests. And we can't go this matter at this. You see, can't hear me next year, push for another thing. What the auditor general says to get Home Affairs and Foreign Affairs to Middle Eastern Department to work together with people has been a challenge. It's always been about promises that you do it, you do it. Then it comes to this one. But when they come and want to do the book, they find it tough situation. Now we can't see that about the environment. It creates a wrong perception of the government. The government is not committed to resolve its own problems. How do we resolve certain human problems when we can't resolve our own internal problems? You see? It becomes a problem, you see. So we want whatever you are telling us, it's a good story. But Can we commit that in 2 months to be able to come here and give a report to so that we can, when we write our report, we firm about it. If you don't deliver, one of you must punish. All these digits are fixed point. There's no way we can think of something that is endlessly being played around. One of you or two of you, because I'm missing your part. What is the general is there? They've been trying and trying to get this thing to be resolved. And they bring you together, they go around and talk to you, and nothing happens. Somebody has to take responsibility. You won't be repeating this thing in the next time. You have to deal with it now. And if that is not resolved in one side, you have to take action. That's all we have to do.
Chairman, I just want to say that I'm so pleased to hear that there is progress being made, and congratulations to the two squad. It's been going a long time, but Chairman, we've heard from Home Affairs. I'd really like to hear about the National Treasury. Are they happy with what's proposed? And I'd also like to hear from HME whether they will accept the arrangements as proposed. Sorry, I wasn't speaking to the mic.
Okay. Can we hear from National Treasury?
I can just indicate to honourable members that this is a problem that's been going on for a long time. And I think we tried to resolve it through a memorandum of understanding between Home Affairs and DIRCO. But that really didn't work. So I think we needed a stronger mechanism to actually regulate the transactions between Home Affairs and the court. And I think that the approvals that we have in place on the revenue side, and also on the expenditure side, I think on the revenue side, we gave the approval that the money can be deposited directly into from ZERCO into the National Revenue Fund. We're still in the process of finalizing the recommendation in terms of transferring the budget from OMOCAS to ZERCO. And ZERCO then is responsible for the operational budget, but the policy of the function will still be within our field. And I think once we have that in place, it will surely work towards regulating as a mechanism, regulating the transactions between the community. We are still in the process of finalizing the approval from the revenue side, from the expenditure side. The revenue side we have given the funds.
The outstanding work, the any sense of time frame which is could be concluded?
Yeah, from the National Treasury side we take it to Public Finance, the budget office, and need to be signed off by DG in Public Finance, DG in the budget office. We just are all DDG from the budget office currently on the new back on Friday. So we got time off from all the other role players. So we have CD signed off, DDG signed off, and we just need a large DDG to sign off the approval from the expanding side.
So
it's
budgeting that within a week or a couple of days or 2 weeks to have that approval?
I think I did forward the scan of the signatures up to DDG Public Finance. So I'm positive by Friday we'll have the approval.
I think I'm fine on the expenditure side, but I think the side which we need to get commitment as well, because myself and the DG Tinko were taking the responsibility. But the issue of dealing with the responsibility part, I think it's the one now which we're not dealing with, because I'm saying Treasury did approve that the money must be deposited in the revenue fund, but the responsibility part is the one which we are discussing. So I wanted that in that part, three of us must take that responsibility. So now we can't, because we can't approve for ourselves. If myself and Tico would implement it by tomorrow, but we can't without now Treasury agreeing to that part of responsibility.
Are we able to get an explanation from Mr. Treasurer in terms of the responsibility part? Why, in what sense, does Telco collect, deposit, report, but when there are errors in their report, who faces their responsibility?
Yeah, Chairperson, that is something that we agree on, because there is foreign missions where Home Affairs doesn't have a presence. So Home Affairs is currently in about 40 missions overseas.
Tinko collects and deposits and reports, but if there are errors in their reports, the responsibility falls on Home Affairs. That is the apparent contradiction, I think apparent, or maybe you come with a brilliant explanation.
I think that we are in agreement that the responsibility should not lie with Home Affairs, but it should lie with ZERCO. Because ZERCO is responsible for the operational side of policy in Home Affairs. So we are in agreement. It's for us to convince the DPSA to say that this is something that's already happening, and that we should allow them that the money is, the responsibility for the money should lie within the circle. Because I think that is just causing problems then for the Home Affairs leg of it. So I think it's just for us to convince DPSA to say that responsibility already lies with the circle. complete except the issue like the work with their gone and for that performance, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Shepard. I just want to, maybe I'm a bit off the mark, but I want to draw the committee's attention to one aspect with regard to Durgo's work that is spread throughout across the globe. And we may endeavor to meet the requirements 100%, but because of the macro picture, it's not always possible. So, if I may just,
take full responsibility or not. But if you want to do this, sometimes you guys are not about the competition. You can do the same. You can do the same. But one of you, should please attend me. What is that they're saying? Who's taking responsibility? That's why you're asking. Not someone else.
Alright, let's do this. Let me take the last word from this translation. Principle, the power good. Now, when it comes to accountability and how they'll commit the obligation, that will become something that we'll deal with on an ongoing basis. And if there are issues and challenges, we'll deal with them. As long as the fundamental principle is like that. Well, Mr. General, is there anything you want to add?
I think the conversation around this will get to the specific situation, the main lines with Department of Home Affairs in terms of legislation. So I think what Gregory tells us is to say it has to be, you know, he alluded to it, he says there's a holistic general advice, but it's not advice. You know, we're saying in terms of the financial reporting framework, the only model that really works for what Home Affairs is proposing is transfer functions. So basically, it's the Act gives the Director General and the Executive authority to actually have someone perform certain functions. So, you know, I think it's the accountability in getting all the disclosure out of your financials and whatever you want to the Delco side. That is something that is sort of beyond, I think, the parties here, it involves other parties. But I think also what the committee must take note of is that, and there must be clarity on this matter, is when is it applicable, when is it effective, what transactions does it affect? And because you must understand, is that transaction that goes to back in 2004? So it could be potentially, if you say transfer functions, it could only happen for the next financial year, which would mean for this financial year, 40-50, you just close it with the same problem. So I think all those need to be ironed out as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. If it comes into effect in July 2015, all that it will be as from that day. Going backwards, it will still be as the current arrangement. I think maybe let's deal with it that, actually, like what Comrade Boy was saying, I think we need to have some level of time frame, and maybe from our side, we need to actually interact with our Council General, because we believe the Council General should actually try the process to assist the two departments, be sure that it will, and if there is any other needed beyond National Treasury. We're talking about public service and administration. If we need to be, we would engage it, because we can't just leave with a problem just there and can't. So I'm happy with what you said, but I think we'd want to follow it up and have firm time frames and the kind of crisis that I think the Auditor General was talking to. Can I be at the macro level? But what are the micro issues that needs to be taken care of so that it becomes a thing? Okay. Omar Pell, you're free. when we come to apply for our smart ID, we don't travel as we.
Hoping then that the department could in fact take us through as to why proper controls were not implemented, and why the charitable campuses, capital assets, the minor capital assets were understated by 25 million dollars. Because it does seem to be a matter that you need to care so that you can set the structures for the community.
Chairperson, if you will allow me, I would like to ask Mr. Ramashaw, the Chief Financial Officer, to lead us on answering this question.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Indeed, for the period 2013-14, as a department, we addressed in terms of the billion, and this was something that was coming from previous years as a matter of compliance. The movable, tangible assets, minor assets, did we then implemented measures. Unfortunately, during the time of the audit, we were very late in terms of that. Just to give a background, Chairperson, is that the assets in terms of how we manage it from missions was based on compliance report, and we realized that was not effective. So what we then implemented was the electronic fiscal asset verification, so which we then implemented a system which all missions, especially abroad, that use the schema to verify them, which we find that is one of the areas that we're lacking. And one of the areas that we're also lacking, Chairperson, was the issue of compliance in terms of custodians of assets who were supposed to do a regular audit on assets. So the procedure that was agreed upon was to then conduct a biannual asset verification using a scanner, which we feel that help us to then improve that area. As part of the intervention chain, we then requested all the corporate service managers that are stationed abroad who are head of administration on a workshop to then workshop this issue of asset management. That was in September, and we developed a turnaround strategy on how we then need to manage the asset better. And we then received the support from the audit committee through a task team that we established as an oversight, which were at three members from the audit committee, supporting the CFO and the senior managers within finance and supply chain.
So you did all sorts of interventions, which but you come to it. None of these things we believe that it's not sorted out. I think that is the part I'm waiting for. We can have all these measures, but if at the end they don't take us away from the problem, then it's not well.
Okay, just to come to the conclusion that we believe that we have a credible asset register that is showing clearly how the asset audit was conducted.
So we will not have this as the audit fine anymore?
Yes, you can say so, Chairperson.
Alright, that's fine.
Thanks, sir. In the department over there, around the economic interest. I think that
we must clear the department of any doubt and break down of that, so that we don't have the situation where we punish that particular, you know, because the things that are coming out in all the sectors of government are quite well. So, I'm just concerned about that particular.
Can we get those breakdowns in a week's time? The bank?
It's fine, Chief. We have the breakdowns.
By the way, which is the breakdown that we're looking for? In which page are they in the annual report? Remember, I saw the three of the things, but I didn't.
Based on case we've looked at the annual report with the during the period under review.
Which page?
Page 15.
15?
Yes.
Congress must be careful. I see one annual report whose pages are just confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Page 15, sir. The paragraph of the report, sir.
It's on page 245, is that?
Let me just move to the African financial fund, because that's where I've got a lot of issues, which also I concern. On page 35 of that annual report, this is a different one, it's a smaller kind of report. I can use this one. On page 35, then. This is signatures on ineffective systems of financial and risk management control, ranging from the PSMA required accounting policy must ensure that the public entity has and takes effective, efficient, and transparent systems of financial and risk management in terms of growth. The fund did not develop and document policies and procedures that could provide a framework on how its operational activities should be carried out in accordance with the PFMA and whether the committee of the fund established in terms of the Act did not have documented in terms of reference, activities, and proposed duties. The structure of the fund established in accordance with sections of the ARF fund did not have documented in terms of reference, stipulation, amongst other powers and duties. Grave errors of concern. Goes on, the accounting authority failed to ensure that the risk assessment was conducted regularly and that the risk management services were implemented in accordance with judicial regulation. The prescribed that loans and financial assistance must be granted or rendered in accordance with an agreement entered into between the relevant parties, including assistance with the promotion for democracy and good health. Contracts between the entity and the project agencies, or projects were not concluded. The Act prescribed that funds must be made available or dispersed upon the recommendation of the advisory committee and the Protocol with the Minister of International Cooperation in consultation with the Minister of Finance. Funds were spent in excess of the amount concurred by the Minister of Finance. That one is all put a couple of other issues, but those are grave. Serious issues of concern, and we would really want to be the benefit of this committee in general, but in particular of the department, to respond to us and give us corrective steps that have been taken or are being taken to correct the initiatives in terms of financial and risk management. Because these issues, as I'm concerned, are not about issues of business capacity. The people I spoke about here, and it's a simple matter of coming to my children. I cannot be addressed in any form. That's just if I could just be responsible for this particular aspect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will once again defer to the CFO to lead us through a response to the observations.
Thank you, Chair. The issue we have is a matter that is coming from the previous audit, where we then get an issue of hearing legislation. So, Chairperson, what we committed to in the how to then put governance measures.
Why were those measures not taken? Are they supposed to be there or not?
It's not funny that, because these are measures which are prescribed by the Act and the regulation of tourism. So it is a, here she says I encrypted what I wanted to say, but the capacity of the regulation of tourism is solid amounts.
As I indicated, that the, in terms of the ARF, when it was then established by the Act of 2000, was then in the way the department has been managing it, was managing the fund in terms of bank account, not necessarily an entity. And I refer back to the report for 2012 date, which then then identified these areas of weakness. So these areas were identified by virtue of the fact that the department then approached the disbursement of funds through an implementing agency, which required that the supply chain process should then be followed in terms of that aspect. So in the absence of that, that then led to irregular expenditure.
The question does like the going forward. Why did this not happen? Why were the right things not done? This is part by law.
Chairperson, I think that it is quite obvious that the question it's a difficult question. I think that the heart of it is that the mistranslation of whether the AIF was funded or whether it was an entity and other similar perceptions may have led to that state of affairs. I don't think that it is right, but that is where we find ourselves.
The item 520, section 51AI of the TSMA supplies. It's relevant. It needs not to be a matter of the rules, the regulations, and the laws were not enforced. That one is it. And all these things that are cited by the ATO could reference to the Act and ARF Act or the TSMA or the regulations. Have been cited specifically. I'm not sure whether you have the citation. Well, so that's what I'm saying. We want to find out. The issue here is the ARF being managed properly? I think that is enough of a question. And by the looks of things, and the shortfall of response is appropriate. And I think it's combined by the fact that the issue is not changed.
Thank
Chair, we said we respect and we love you, we kiss you, we love you, but the GGG says it's quite difficult to answer. And can't entertain you if you can't even ask one question. You must start thinking and come out. So we are very true. We just have to ask you. There's no clarity. And this question is not a new question. It's been on their book for some time. It's given us the history of the book. Clearly, they've not done it. And that difficulty, so we can't even receive it. We can't. It's all right to a DG that doesn't want to come in. DG wants to come in an account, and it's quite a difficult process.
Honorable Lett?
Sir, I don't remember any case in that I want to say anything. You're watching these comments.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I'm not saying finance.
No, I hear you. The reason I'm coming to you because you have the program. But what Sembo raised and what Kubuola probably starts a different course. And I wanted to hear, listening to the few responses that we had, whether indeed there is a sense that says the absence of the teaching really is felt regularly. I wanted to pick your brain on that.
Mr. Jim, thank you very much for that clarity. I mean, we indicated our concerns, and as it's playing out now, our concerns are becoming a reality. And that's no reflection on the people here. That's a reflection on the accounting officer. We cannot hold someone accountable who is not the accountant. So in a sense, that's what we're trying to do, and it's not working. But this gym, my experience of this kind of situation in the last parliament was that we would say, go away and teach you. But our program was always so full, and the things slipped through the cracks. And I wanted to consider that if we do go that route, please, Mr. Chair, that we if necessary, go to the minister to ensure that the DG. In other words, this is not an escape route of some sort. Thank you.
I was actually starting to think in that direction before the two of you came. I think two gentlemen are trying to hold the fort, but therefore, I don't see the way you are responding. No. Does not deal with the issues that we're concerned about. Certainly cannot be the level at which we deal with the issues we are dealing with. So, I would. And be mindful of the fact that you flew, probably flew and left here and multiplied that money. You see. Now, you have money, you come here and you have to go back again. And that money wastes. And it's not something that you would want to take lightly. It can be correct. And I think the point that the Comrade Vincent raised at the beginning, actually, and that will require the committee. So if someone is going to be held accountable, maybe if he's not there, then we don't need to do anything. Over and above whether those who are here will be able to impose the questions or not. But practically here, I think I was trying to be patient. what do we do? Frank, what could we do?
Sir, I'm in agreement with your organization, and we didn't know how to do it, therefore, in the that you might be asked. And, Chair, you know, if you send a page in this report, that I sent the Chair to me, on the issue of leadership, the AG is as follows. The accounting authority was slow in addressing significant conditions. So, Chair, I think that's what it's called. You know, that's how the original concludes the obligation.
Treasury is here, they put time aside, they
only touch around this year and put time aside. Additionally, she has to really ask for them and leave them for them to go to the temple to start counting the cost. Mm-hmm. All this. And the night is spent. Somebody must pay. Somebody must pay because you can't go doing this, but you do. Somebody must get a responsibility. It can be the department where the fiscal is being put. But amongst you, the time, I mean, I know the preparation that the police have got, it's a parliamentary man, it's not a personal man. Somebody must pay. And I'm just going to be interested to partner my friends. And now I start sharing, start asking to ask. And start putting the bills together. So when you call in there, you can end up the numbers you said, and you step off adding this meeting. Because we don't have time. We don't have time. You see what we are talking about is that we are politicians. We go to the voters. We explain to the voters what they are doing. We don't have time. We engage them. We try to explain everything that's happening, right or wrong. And this rap thing has been there. You can come in with us and explain it. This tradition is not cool. Somebody must be able to say the time we spend here is how much you spend, and somebody must be able to mind that. Of course, the balance department that could be old. But all of us have to account our own principles. But when we spend that much time, we look for you to make preparation, and the next thing, we're taking our exam. We are very clear on our side that if we can't make results on behalf of our citizens, there is something wrong with us. As a citizen politician, there should be something wrong with us. But don't get you to do the magic. If your DG can do it, we will do it for you. To provide the necessary budget and get things to be done. You can't come here and see what you're doing. You can't do it. God bless you as much. Somebody must be able to change. You are all of us. You can pay for Parliament, but Parliament is organizing work and everything. You can be here. And somebody must take something.
Mr. Chairman, just a point of clarity, please. For my own peace of mind, when did the invitation or the request or the command or whatever go to the department just yesterday? In other words, it was at very short notice and perhaps the DG already had other comments.
I think we spent it in time.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Just to we acknowledge the position of the committee. I just want to refer that in our view, we've got two reports, which is the department report, which is the annual report, which will then be the application report. And we also have the AIR, which is an entity, which is got its own annual report that has been unqualified. Which I think is the issue that we are dealing with. Just to give the committee the issue of this image.
I think let's do this. Your desire to put things in perspective, but maybe let's stop it here. Left after your clarity of whoever was because that is all over again. I think it's fine. What would do honorable is not an escape route. For sure the sunrise the east and the west will recall them to come back. Because I'm sure they also would love the platform to clear things. So that Parliament is not like the question mark. And clear things, we're able to understand, we're able to know. So we wanted, I think the point that we're emphasizing was the fact that it cannot just be go away, you come back. You know, there are costs involved. Mm-hmm. And as the protector of the public has, that should be our first point of concern. So we're saying therefore that it's not a decision we take lightly, understanding the and even our own time, we don't have time. But we would want to I'm sure employ by Monday, should have found a date and would communicate to the department soonest. And apologies to Shane Wayne and Len. There's nothing to do with what happened in the preparation. You have to go back. Well, Mr. Cesar, thanks. We're sorry that this has had to happen. Well, the organization, but unfortunately, when we called him, because as you're seeing with the Home Affairs, we always need your presence to assist in giving context and clarifying issues. Well, we shall meet next week. Comrade.
Another situation where the team comes. So this is so that